King. Let's sing it again. Oh, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, trouble. Jesus knows just what I need. Oh, yes, He knows just what I need. He said, He knows just what I need. Oh, yes, He knows just what I need. He
Amen. Well, God bless you. Aren't you glad He knows exactly what you have need of? Amen. I'm just trying to be sensitive. I just feel the Lord is just changing the way the service is to go. So I'm not too sure what we're going to sing, to be honest with you. Well, you know what? I'm just going to stay on this train. Give me Jesus in the morning when I rise.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, oh give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Yes, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me in me, Jesus. Yes, in me, Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, when I come to die, just give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Yes, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Yes, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. God still moves. God still moves in the hearts of His people. God still moves. He does not sleep. Does He slumber? God still moves. My God still moves. Oh, God still moves. God still hearts of His people. God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does He slumber. God still moves. Oh, God still moves.
One more time, if you believe that tonight.
Oh, God still moves. Yes, God still moves in the hearts of His people. God still moves. He does not. He slumber. God still moves. My God still moves.
Amen. We're going to go to prayer. Ask Brother David. David, if you would come and just take these knees before our Heavenly Father. We want to remember Brother Keith tonight. His blood sugar has just shot through the roof, and if they're not able to get it under control, he may have to go into the hospital, so we want to lift him up in prayer. Also, the Harwells, they're away this evening. Ethan Pritchard, the Pritchards, Ethan, I guess it's his whole family, is at home, so we remember them, and the males are at home as well. We want to remember Brother Aaron this evening. He's got a cold. I want to continue to remember Megan Buchanan's friend Emily and Sister Angela. Pritchard is in Georgia, so we want to lift her up in prayer. Want to pray for Sister Katie as she's at home sick this evening, and pray for Amber. She broke her foot. And Sister Shirley Buchanan is not feeling well this evening as well. And Brother Richard Smith, he tested positive for COVID and the flu, so we want to remember hit Brother Richard this evening, and also Brother and Sister Reynolds as they're streaming tonight as well. And kindly pray for me and the family as we are traveling to Europe this weekend, and this is the Wellingtons, so we want to remember the Wellingtons in our prayer. And our prayers, many, many prayer requests here, but we have a God who answers prayer. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm just so joyous about. If you have a need, just raise your hand as we go to prayer.
All right, let us pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we just come humbly before you, O God. We just thank you for the opportunity to come middle of the week, lay our cares of this week aside, dear Lord, and just come into your house with fellow believers, dear Lord. Just, we come petitioning, dear Lord. We just come asking forgiveness from our shortcomings, our failures, our thoughts, our deeds, anything that may get in the way of coming before you, dear Lord. We just ask forgiveness for that. Dear Lord, many are the afflictions of the righteous, O God. We can, as our brother read, all these needs, dear Lord. Many are afflicted in the body, dear Lord. We just ask you to go to them even now. Especially our brother Keith, as our brother Sam prayed last week, dear Lord, we just don't know how to pray for our brother, but we know you're in it, dear Lord. So we just ask you to step in and on his behalf, dear Lord, and may your perfect will be done in his life for a testimony of your grace to your bride in this day, dear Lord. All the others that are mentioned that are sick and afflicted, we just ask you, like our brother Smith, dear Lord, how he's been with his wife by her side faithfully, dear Lord. We just ask you to touch his body, dear Lord. Restore him anew to help her recover for a testimony as well before your people, before your bride. We just ask, oh God, that those that are traveling that were mentioned, dear Lord, that you just keep your angel of protection to go with them wherever they may go, that they may come safely back among us. We just ask, oh God, that as the word comes forth tonight, that it falls on good, prepared ground, dear Lord. Anoint our ears to hear what we have need of. Anoint the lips of the minister. May they be a tool in your hand. We just love you so much. We thank you for this opportunity. Amen.
Amen. You may have your seats. Once again, I want to greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And those tuning in via the internet, we just want to say God bless you. I know we mentioned Brother Reynolds and then Brother Keith as well. I know he'll be listening in. So we want to say God bless you tonight. Amen. Well, as Brother Barry was preaching on Sunday, this song just kept coming back to me. And I know we've sung it here before, Winds of Faith.
There are two roads you can take, one by sight, one by faith. Take the word of God, what you see, what you believe, is what will be. Do not struggle
Brothers come, we'll take the tithes and the offering at this time, and then if you just play softly, turn your eyes upon Jesus. As we get ready to turn the service to Brother Barry.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful once again to be able to come to your house this evening. Father, we ask that you would be with us part of our worship tonight, be with the gift, the giver, the intended purpose. But Lord, most of all, just ask you to be with your minister tonight. Lord, be with the word that comes forth. Our desire is to leave here just a little bit closer to you. Lord, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for
to be in God's house, isn't it? Let's just sing that little chorus, "Have Your Way," as we open up tonight. How many are ready to have church?
Amen.
God's good, and we appreciate his blessings so much. I want to remember two needs tonight before we go to prayer, and the first one is for Brother Russell Wallace, and some of you know Brother Russell lives in Arizona, and he discovered that he has a form of cancer that's quite aggressive. And I sure want to remember Brother Russell. We have known him a very, very long time, very dear friend, and just a great brother. So I told him tonight we would remember him in prayer. So if you would do that, that would be wonderful. And then I also wanted to say that Sunday we prayed for my brother Mark, and he came through just fine. He was in and out before he could blink an eye. So he just did really fine, and we're very thankful for that. Sister Rachel Coffey also is going through a treatment for an issue with her jaw, the jaw joint and bone. It's kind of a long-term process, and so we're praying that the Lord will undertake for her as well. So if you could remember that. How many of you have a need on your hearts?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, "Have Your Way," and let's look to him in prayer tonight.
Have your way. As we wait.
Father, when we sing and pray this prayer, Lord, for you to have your way, we indeed mean, Lord, that you always know best. And you teach us, Lord, in your word that your ways are not our ways. Your ways are higher and better than our ways. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, we commit each and every concern we have into your hands, knowing and believing, Lord, that you care for us. And there's nothing that is too great or too impossible for you. So, Lord Jesus, minister to these needs, I pray, these that are sick. We ask you, Lord, just to remember Sister Rachel and, Lord, Brother Russell Wallace. We commit him into your hands, Lord. We commit the Smiths into your care as well and ask, oh God, you be merciful to them. We thank you, Lord, for answered prayer and thank you for your many blessings and the provision, Lord, that is so consistent in our lives. We ask now that you'd break the bread of life with us tonight. Fill our empty cups, Lord, we pray. And we commit our time here tonight in your hands in Jesus' lovely name. Amen and amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let's read that tonight. Thank you, musicians. Good to have all of you here tonight. And I want to say that Brother and Sister Smith are celebrating their 48th wedding anniversary today. And Brother Smith, he found out yesterday that he had COVID and the flu. He was tested, and so they sent him home. And he said, "But I can't go." He said, "I have an anniversary card for my wife." And they said, "Well, you really can't go near." And so they did it from a distance, and they exchanged the card from a distance, and he at least got to see her for a few minutes. So. We just want to pray for Brother Smith and just trust that the Lord will undertake for him. And the Reynolds were in contact with Brother Smith on Monday. So they're not here tonight just being safe and isolating so that they didn't spread it in church tonight. So we certainly miss the Reynolds. Appreciate their consistent care for the Smiths and for the others in the church. And may God bless them. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 5. Everybody have it, say amen. Now I will come unto you, verse 5, when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door, an effectual, is open unto me. And there are many adversaries. And may the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated tonight. Brother Emmanuel, good to have you with us tonight. God bless you. Good to have the drums with us tonight. It is an honor and a pleasure to have Brother Tim Ashong with us tonight. Brother Tim, God bless you. Good to have you back in your seat where you belong. This is his North American home. And he had to see the doctor today and doing a follow-up checkup, and we're just honored to have him with us tonight. He'll be back again. He's going to Washington, and he'll be back, and his wife will be with him. So we'll be looking forward to seeing Sister Joanne as well. And so, Brother Tim, always good to see you, and we appreciate Brother Tim very much. Now, girls, all you girls from 13 years old to 30, pay heed to what I'm going to say. This is your finest hour. Because this Sunday we're going to have a session with the girls like we had with the boys. And couple of months ago we had a session with the boys at my house on Sunday afternoon. And one of the most amazing things about that fellowship that we had, and Brother Branham used to do this, he'd take the boys aside on a Sunday afternoon and talk to them about things you probably wouldn't talk about in church. And then later on, he'd take the girls aside and have a conversation with them. But the most astounding thing about the fellowship we had with the boys is the volume of food they ate. I mean, it was staggering. I thought my family could eat a whole lot, but they surpassed me 1,000 times over. But we had a good fellowship, and it was a good time. So girls, this is your opportunity, and anyone from 13 to 30 years old, you're welcome to come after service on Sunday. We're going to have lunch provided, and that's always a blessing and a thrill when Sister Becky puts on the lunch on Sunday. So we're looking forward to having that time together. Now, let's look in the Word. I had a note from Brother Keith just before I came out, and his blood sugar began to drop. It was dangerously high, and it began to drop. So trusting that the Lord will undertake for Brother Keith, and he's got to go probably tomorrow again to the doctor and to check on some things. So we just, if you don't mind, just hold Brother Keith in prayer. We sure would appreciate that. Now, I wanted to just carry on the thought here, and this is a week-by-week thing. Last Wednesday night, we touched on this subject as well, and I titled this, Who Cares? And when I began this subject and began thinking about it, I had completely different thoughts altogether, but that's not too unusual or impressive because my thoughts are not his thoughts, and his thoughts are above our thoughts, isn't that right? And so we lean upon him, we trust him to guide things according to the knowledge of his will. But we took as a theme this principle where we are invited and we are encouraged to take our cares, and there are many cares in life. The word care here means anxiety, and that word actually comes from the English word to strangle. And sometimes when people get overly anxious and they get overly worried about things, it's hard for them sometimes to do things normal. They can feel almost a strangling feeling. And so Peter tells us to cast all of our cares. It's not unusual that you would have the feelings. And it doesn't mean necessarily that there's sin or something wrong in your life. He's not suggesting that at all. He's just telling you what to do when you go through it. So when we go through those times and we go through those valleys, take the cares that you have, the burdens that you carry, and cast them upon him. And lay them at his feet, because he cares for you. And even though you may feel nobody cares and nobody really understands, we believe that our Lord Jesus Christ does care and understand. He came to this earth to experience what we experience. And he went through what we go through. So he's not a stranger to the sufferings that we experience in this life. It's not a foreign thing to him. But he suffered in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so he understands the plight or the journey that we are on. And so Peter's admonition is for us to take our cares and to cast them upon him, because he cares for us. And that's a real resource that God lays out for us, and one that we should take advantage of. We also know too, and this is a repeat quote, that there's a real power of the Holy Spirit that delivers the sufferer from his suffering. How many know that's true? We believe that God does actually know how to deliver the sufferer from his suffering. And there are solutions, there are remedies, there are resources that God has that very often we don't know about, and we don't even access, we don't reach out to, but God has a power to be able to do that. He's able to move the clouds away. He's able to untie the knots in your life. He's able to make things come smooth. He can do amazing things. And Brother Branham says, I do not see how the clergy could say and preach the gospel without including divine healing in the atonement, because he was wounded for our transgressions, and with his stripes we are healed. So I want you to notice that even though people may not say that today, or they may not preach that, and Brother Branham ran into that in his day, I think there's another underlying point here that I think is worth mentioning, and that is this. If the Bible declares it, it's not out of season. If the Bible declares something like this, that he was wounded for our transgressions and with his stripes we are healed, that is not confined to a certain time or a season. It is a promise that you can take and you can embrace, right? Because when he bore those stripes on Calvary's cross, it was for anyone to claim anywhere, anytime. So it's still in effect tonight. Do you believe that? And there are things that he said about the Jews or about John the Baptist, you know, when his ministry was unfolding there. And there's different things that are said about people that terminated, like, you know, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that terminated. And that was a specific time frame. But a promise like this, or a prophecy about the future, it's not happening at the moment, but it's happening up the road. But a promise like this is meant for us to apprehend it. It's meant for us to embrace it, no matter what time you live in. It doesn't go out of season. It never goes to a place where it's not in effect. It's always in effect. Can you say amen? And so therefore, it is like a well full of water. It's there for you to draw from. And we should draw deep from the wells of salvation and everything that God's provided, because it is there for you. The unbeliever is going to pass by. But for us, if we know it's a well of God, then we should draw deep from those wells, because God has something good for us. So we know that he is, as I said, he has taken on himself the nature of angels and took upon him the seed of Abraham. And wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. This is another verse that does not have a time restriction here until all the Gentiles are in, of course. But for the last 2,000 years, that's what he set out to do. And as Brother Branham described, the blood followed the Lamb's Book of Life all the way from the early church right down through the ages until now. So he's after everyone whose name is on the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you believe that? And that's why the Holy Spirit came after you and I, because our names were on the book. And he had a plan of redemption. He had a way to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And he went out for you. He went after you. And he apprehended us, and he attracted us. His voice sounded out, and God had put something in us to respond to that voice. And so therefore, God made a way for that. And it was his role, if you like. It was his mission. It was his desire. It was his will that we would be saved according to the plan that God had laid down. So he is that. It's not that he was that. He is that. Is that okay? So therefore, it's not past, it's not something that's going to happen in the future. He is that for us today. In all things, it behooved him to be made like unto us. And he is that faithful high priest today, full of mercy and full of grace and truth. Now, I want you to notice something here that Brother Branham says in The Position of a Believer, 1955. Do you know, he says, what it is? It's hope. And he was in the discussion here about the difference between hope and faith. And he said it's hope instead of faith. And faith does the job right now. Hope hopes for it. But faith is the product. Hope is not a bad thing. It's just a different thing. And he said faith really does it. And he said we have lots of hope, but not much faith. So we want to change from hope today to positive faith. We want to let it drop from what we know in our mind, and let it drop down in the heart and become a faith that is absolutely anchored, absolutely sure in the Word of God, and it's going to come to pass. We know that. And he said there's only one way we can get positive faith, and that's by positive thinking of positive things. So faith comes by hearing, but it's got to turn into positive thinking about positive things, right? It isn't just, sitting in church here, because you can sit in church and be wrestling right now with negative things, right? You can be wrestling with worry about tomorrow. You can be wrestling about how you feel. You can be wrestling about a doctor's report or something else. And so therefore, you can be in the right place hearing the right thing, but it's not translated into something positive in your life, because we're dwelling on things that are negative. And so Brother Branham says we want to change from hope today to positive faith. And there's one way that we get positive faith, and that's by positive thinking of positive things. And so that's why last Wednesday night we were talking about whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and just and pure, lovely, things that are of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Because they are positive, isn't that right? There's lots that Satan will give you to think negatively about. But Paul is saying that's not going to be our priority. That's not what it is we're going to dwell on. We're going to dwell on positive things. And when we hear positive things and we dwell on positive things, something good happens. Now, I put a harp there because, my wife being a harpist and we know lots of harpists and good harpists who play. It's interesting about the harp, and I may have mentioned this before, that very often they'll bring a harpist into a hospital when somebody is struggling or really sick, because they'll have the harpist play within earshot of that person who's really sick, and the effect of listening to the harp music calms their body enough that they can absorb the medication they're taking better. And it will actually improve their condition by listening to the harp music as they're recovering from some injury or taking medication or chemotherapy, things like that. It'll actually work better in their body because there's another influence there influencing them to be at rest. You remember, that's why when Saul was as troubled as what he was, he called for David to come with his harp to play. And it drove out that evil spirit. We know that music will bring something with it. It'll bring one thing or the other with it because music is never neutral, right? When you came and sang tonight and we changed the focus from everything we've been listening to today, it changes your spirit. It causes you to rest. It causes you to think a little differently. It causes you to relax a little bit. Don't get too relaxed, but it causes us to relax and just to enter, be ready for the presence of the Lord and be ready for the hearing of the word, right? And it just does something positive to us. There's really nothing like being in that atmosphere where the right kind of music is played. But all day long, you're hearing something different, right? If you're listening to the radio or you're online or something else, there's all kinds of things that are distracting. And they very often don't relax you. They'll work you up. And, it's sometimes it's a frustrating thing. And that's why dwelling on the right thing and the positive things, it has an effect on us mentally, has an effect physically. And as we were talking about last Wednesday night, there are things that that happen that drain us. You know, they can be depressing, they can be oppressing, and they'll cause us to think quite differently. So these are kind of the things that we go through, and the theme is who cares? And no matter what it is that we experience, we know that God cares. Now, I want to take that a little farther, and I've been trying to do that, and in making sure that we understand that I think it's reasonable for us to care one for another. Amen. Not only just like if somebody's going through something and we say, hey, praying for you, and go on our way and not think about that again and believe, okay, God's going to look out for that brother. God will, God can, God does that. But I don't think it hurts for us to put our arm around our brother or our sister and say, hey, what can I do? Is there anything that I can do? Is there any way I can help? Is there anything that I can bring? Is there anything that I can... Can I cut your firewood? Or can I, help out financially? Can I drive you? So can I look after your kids? Can we make a meal? You know, is there something that we can actually do? And I think that this goes further than just saying, God bless you, and I trust that God will heal you, and God will do this. Hey, if somebody's going through a serious disease where they require prayer, they probably need other things as well. If you're going through a serious disease and you're missing work, you probably need some other kind of help. If you're going through a disease and you have children, you probably need a babysitter or a house cleaner. Isn't that right? And so the kind of help that we should bring should not be just vocal. I believe it should be tangible. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to be a bleeding heart here. I'm just trying to say that, there's a lot in Scripture here about who cares. Now, Paul uses this word adversary in the text we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He says, now there's a great door. There's an effectual door that's open for me. And I'm going to be going here and I'm going to be going there and I'm going to visit you and I'm going to pass by Macedonia and so forth. And he said, there's a great door. There's things happening. But he said, I want you to know there are adversaries. So whenever you're doing something good for God, whenever you see those gates of the kingdom open and God is dealing with hearts, there's an enemy. There are critics. There are people that are used by the other side to try to hinder that progress. And I can tell you of an assurity that in this church and in the families of this church, in the people who are associated with people in this church, God is moving. I can tell you that. It doesn't happen all the time. There are seasons where things begin to stir. And there are seasons where things happen. People get, they get under conviction. They'll want to talk about the things of God. And I can tell you that's happening. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And we should come to church every service. It doesn't matter whether there's a lot of people or little people. We should come to church expecting that, God is actually going to deal with hearts. And we really don't know. We really don't know, but we could see the last one come. And I mean, that's what it's all about. But I can tell you when you're getting closer to a momentous event like the taking off of the bride, and you see God doing things and God doing miracles and God doing signs and wonders among us, we have an adversary. The adversary will show up in all kinds of different ways. Sometimes he'll show up between your two ears. Sometimes he'll park between two cars. But he will show up in a variety of ways, and we need to be ready for that enemy. We need to be ready for that adversary. And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. An adversity, by definition, And I know most of you have read it already, but it means that adverse fortune or fate, a condition marked by misfortune, calamity, or distress. It is adverse or unfortunate events or circumstances, usually not planned, usually you're not expecting them, but they happen anyway. They are things very often that are negative. Now, I want you to think for a minute. Think about instances that you can think of that might be an example of adversity. For instance, when the hurricane struck over here in western North Carolina, there was a lot of adverse conditions, weren't there? There was a lot of hardship. There was a lot of things that put distress on people. I would suggest to you that when the famine struck Egypt back in the days of Joseph, there were a lot of people who were now in an adverse condition compared to the previous 7 years. They had 7 years of plenty. And then all of a sudden things turned and they were moving into a period of adversity, a period where there was all of a sudden now lots of distress. The surplus we once have, we don't have anymore. But now Joseph moved in on the scene, and he had a plan for that and relieved those circumstances. But certainly that was a time of adversity. It would have been much worse if Joseph wasn't there. I will suggest to you that I think Brother Keith is going through a time of adversity. I think that's a real adverse condition. It's a real adverse situation. And there's nothing that Brother Keith did to cause that. And yet he's having to face that every day. Every day he's reminded of a situation that's not right and not normal. And certainly his condition, just not being able to work and not being able to provide like he would, and having to go through all the doctor's appointments and all the different things that he's struggling with and so on. I pray for Brother Keith regularly, and I hope that you do too, because I think his situation certainly is adverse. When you think about it, in the Bible, when David was anointed to be the king and went about slaying Goliath and, became popular in the kingdom, his name became a household name in the kingdom. He wasn't anything but a shepherd prior to the time that he killed Goliath. And all of a sudden, he's, jettisoned into the public eye. And everybody knows about young David. Everybody hears his name and he's talked about. And then all of a sudden, the king turns on him for no real reason. And David is sent off and lives among the Philistines and has to do some really strange things in order to survive. It is definitely a season of adversity for David. He lamented about that. He wrote about that. He talked about it in several of the Psalms there. And yet, adversity can be a time of learning. It can be a time where we grow through things. In the bottom of this screen, it says we cannot direct the wind, but we can adjust the sails. And sometimes God will use adversity to cause us to maybe shift direction or shift focus. Maybe we come to the place where we realize what we're doing is not really working well, so we probably need to make a shift. Am I making sense? Now, we know, and Brother Branham says it this way in the message, the angel of the Lord in 1951, "And all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And the devil's always been after the church of the living God." So if your heart's really right with God, really live for Him. Be true to Him and love Him so much that everything else becomes secondary. And then you'll love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul and all your might. And God will lead you then. The footstep of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So he's telling us what we have been talking about lately, and that is to seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you, because whenever you begin to pursue that, whenever you do that, the devil's going to chase you. He's going to come after you. But don't stop doing that because the devil's on your tail. That's probably a sign you're moving in the right direction. That's probably a sign that you're doing the right thing. So don't quit. Don't pull back. Don't pull back because people do funny things with the message. And, people might be critical or offensive or whatever else. Don't pull back because of that. Because no matter what people do, the message is still right. Amen. The Bible is still right. Amen. God knew what He was doing when He sent a message to build our faith and turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers and bring us to a body change. God knew how to do that. We didn't know how to do that. God knew how to do that. And so when the enemy will come in, and he's always been after the church of the living God, and when the enemy moves in, you just keep moving on and just keep loving him more and serve him more and dedicate your heart to him more. And he says, God will lead you then. Because it's going to get more narrow all the time. It's going to become more treacherous all the time. But the footsteps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Amen. Along the way, Benjamin Disraeli said, there is no education like adversity. Somebody once said, why waste a good tragedy without learning something? Every tragedy, every mistake, every failed relationship, every problem in your home, every problem that you experience ought to teach you something about how not to do it again. It ought to teach you how to do it the right way. There are things that happen to us that wake us up and we realize, wow, I just may have been in the wrong place. I might have listened to the wrong thing. I might have sowed the wrong thing and reaped a bad harvest. And that doesn't mean that it's the end of things. It just means you've got to shift. And so there's no education like pain. Pain is a fantastic teacher. And we should use it. And the pain of the heart, the pain of the experiences that we go through, those are all really good teachers in our lives. Brother Branham says it like this. Sometimes God lets the very props be knocked out from underneath us. Sometimes he lets sickness strike us. He said he lets disappointments, heartache strike us. And sometimes he does that to get you where you'd be influenced by the gospel. Be wise enough to catch it and don't be stupid enough to walk away from it. Wow. Sometimes he does that to get you to where you'd be influenced by the gospel. Because you may not be influenced enough by the gospel. You might be influenced by people, and you might be disappointed in people. You might be disappointed by what people have said about the message or whatever else. And there are all kinds of things in our world like that. I said this many times before, and I'll say it again. I don't find anything wrong with the message, but I do find problems with people who believe the message. Because sometimes they'll twist it, and they'll make it say all kinds of things here. But it doesn't make the message wrong. Right? When the people left Jesus, the 70 walked away from Jesus, and Jesus watched them go, and he turned to the disciples, and he said, hey, are you going to go too? And they said, no, we're not going to go. Because whenever you speak, something inside of us comes alive. Whenever you speak, there's something that happens on the inside that we cannot get anywhere else. And we just like to be around where the Word of God sounds out, and there's something different about what you say and how you say it, and we're going to stay. We don't have the answer, but we know that somehow or another you do. So in other words, even if people misinterpret it and people walk away from it, it doesn't declare it to be wrong. It only means their hearing is different. And if you still love it, it's because God puts something in you to receive what he has sent. So sometimes he does that to get you where you'd be influenced by the gospel. Be wise enough to catch it, and don't be stupid enough to walk away from it. We talk about a crisis very often, and similar to adversity, a crisis generally refers to a situation, a difficult or dangerous situation, especially one involving problems requiring a decisive response. This happens in our lives. It can be personal. It can be a social issue, even a turning point in a disease. A crisis can range from a financial problem, political issues, to natural disasters, and even individual emotional struggles. This can happen to all of us. There are people who come to a crisis of faith, and they're not sure what they believe anymore. They come to a place where they're not sure what's right and what's wrong. Can I trust this? Can I trust that? And I believe that God allows crises to happen in our lives because he's trying to get our attention, and he's trying to get you more influenced by the gospel so that you will listen. I love the Chinese way of saying things, and the Chinese word for crisis shares a character with the word for opportunity. So whenever you experience a crisis, there's always an opportunity in that for you to become something better. So on the board is the word for crisis and the word for opportunity. They both those words share the same character because Chinese words are very often made up of multiple characters, right? Like two or three characters. And each one of them have the word opportunity in there. I think that's a great thing to remember. Now, Ecclesiastes 7:14 says this, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end that men should find nothing after him. Now pause for a minute. In the day of prosperity, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of calamity, he says, consider. The word consider means to look at something and inspect it and observe it really carefully. You want to pay attention to this, and you want to use your discernment here. God is allowing something that he wants you not to just pass off, but he wants you to look at this really carefully. Maybe you have a problem in your marriage, or maybe there's a financial problem in your household, or maybe there's a problem in the church. And it's easy sometimes for ministers to say, the people have a problem. And yet it may be the minister that have pushed the people to a place where now they're acting out some kind of a pressure that's been put on them by a minister. I'm just saying. So the idea of considering here is an important word. Look at it again. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, when things begin to go wrong, or listen, when the pendulum swings the other way, you want to consider that. When you get a season of prosperity, enjoy it. Like in the days of Joseph in Genesis back there, when they had all the prosperity, they enjoyed that. I mean, they were blessed. They had lots in the bank. They had lots in their storehouse, and things were good. But in the day of adversity, now you want to pay attention. What's God trying to tell me here? And then it says, God has set the one over against the other to the end that men should find nothing after him. I like the common Jewish Bible. It says, when things are going well, enjoy yourself. But when things are going badly, consider that God made one alongside the other. He made both so that people would learn nothing of their future. In other words, this is a strange way of saying this, but consider that God made one and he made the other one so you can't predict what season and when that season's going to come. So God made them in a random way to us, but they're planned by him so that you never know when that season will change. That's what he's actually saying. To the end that man should find nothing after him. And you know what? You need to learn from those experiences that you have, the joyful ones and the troubling ones or the adverse ones, because you want to be making the right choices in both of those seasons. When things are going well, enjoy yourself. But when things are going badly, consider that God made them both so that people would learn nothing of their future. That in both seasons, we are dependent on God. Yes. And in both seasons, we need to trust him and thank him. Wow, there's a lot packed into that little verse there. So this word consider, like I say, it means to inspect something, to look at something really ardently and look at it carefully, give attention to it. Let's look here in the book of Genesis in chapter 20. I'm sorry, let's go next screen here. Genesis chapter 6. Then the sons of God saw, there's the same word, consider. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. They looked at these women, they looked at them very carefully, and they said, all right, this is what we're going to do. They made a plan. Now, God saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. So man was looking at things one way, God was looking at the earth another way, and God saw that, and he considered. He looked at that, and he said, you know, there's nothing I can do to turn men around. The only thing I can do is destroy the earth and start again with Noah and his family. Chapter 6, verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God's not just casually looking down and saying, oh, wow, they're pretty rowdy today. He's not looking at that. He's studying that very carefully. And he's looking at that, and he's looking at Noah. He's looking at the possible solutions. He's looking at this. He's intently gazing on this to see if there's any redemption, because it's in the heart of God to redeem. And he's looking at that, and there's nothing else he can do. And chapter 7, verse 1 says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for I have seen in thee, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. I'm looking at the people out there in the world, and I'm looking at your heart, and I see something very differently, because I'm looking deep into your heart, and I see something very different. And God acts based on what he sees and what he knows. Come on, folks. When you think about it, we are blessed to be able to receive what we have been given. We are blessed to know what we know because God does not just throw it out randomly and hope that somebody picks it up. He ordained you to receive what you know today. He's ordained you to receive the message of the hour. And he looks into our hearts and he knows, hey, yeah, they make mistakes here and they mess up here and they trip up here. But I know their heart, and I know that when I sound that voice out in the last day, they'll respond to that and come to that, and they'll come back to the tree of life because there's righteousness in them.
Amen.
And God knows that. It's not like looking at things like we look at it. Very often we look at the surface of things, but God looks at the heart, and he knows exactly what's going on. Well, you say, well, Brother Branham, I feel perfectly well. He said, how do you know that someone's not dying right at this time? He said, see, it's an unsettled peace. And you don't have no peace. It wasn't meant for you to have peace here in this world. And if you did, you'd get customized to the world. God don't want you to be customized to this world. He wants you to rest in him and come to him that you might have peace. And so there's very few of us that have a consistent long time, long period where there's no prayer requests. And when you think about it, if you could go back in time, go back over a 5-year period in our church here, and you'll find that eventually every family's name comes up and is on the prayer list, right? Every family's name, because we all go through things at different points in time. And it's not because you're necessarily doing anything wrong, but there are burdens that we bear. Some of them get expressed, some of them are private, but every one of us go through things here. And Brother Branham's saying God actually structured it that way, because if you didn't have that, you'd be content living here and you wouldn't pray like you pray today. And for those of you whose names are on the prayer list here tonight, you're praying a different way. You're praying with a desperation. You're praying for healing. There are people who are not here tonight who would love to be here tonight, but they're struggling with some sort of sickness or some sort of a problem, like Sister Angela down with her brother down there, and has a difficult set of meetings with the doctor and the oncologist and so forth, and they had to make some really hard decisions here coming up. And that's not all the time, but there are times when we go through that because God does not want you ever to get accustomed to this world here. He wants you to be longing for, he wants you to be calling for a better place.
Amen.
And God, there could not be a better place unless a better place existed.
Amen.
I know this, that I have people who I love, people that are family that live in that better place. And I know this, that it would be a good thing to stay here longer and to work and labor for the kingdom. But I will tell you what, if this was the last day of my life, I would be gladly stepping over on the other side to shake hands with people that I know have gone over there. The members of this church who are already there. The people in my life and my family who are already over there on the other side. And just about every one of us have some sort of link or connection to somebody or something over on the other side. And this is what Brother Bram's telling us here. It's not a sinful thing in your life. It's not an unusual thing in your life. God allows troubles to come. God allows those things because he wants to make you more sensitive to the gospel here. But he's also preparing you to enter into that place over there.
Right.
A place of peace. God let the Hebrew children walk right into the fiery furnace before he ever turned a hand. He's always there. He said, don't be scared. He's always present. Say that with me. He's always present. Say it again. He's always present. Then if the footsteps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, what have we got to fear? He said, if God be for you, who can be against you? He said, Jonah, many people think Jonah was a terrible person. Jonah was a prophet of the Lord walking in all the will of God. And you say, well, why did he do what he did? He said he never did anything contrary to God's will. He said, you can't, if you're in Christ, do anything contrary if you're walking humbly and upright. He never did anything. Hey, listen, you can do all the searching you want. You'll find only Brother Branham basically saying things like this about Jonah. But I need you to make sure you read all the words he says. That you cannot walk contrary to the will of God if you're in Christ. You have to be in Christ. And he says you can't do anything contrary if you're walking humbly and upright. It may seem like you do, but you don't do it, and nothing happens providentially or by chance. The footsteps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and all things work together for good to them that love him. The scriptures, he said, cannot be broken. And you say, oh, well, he took a ship to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. He said, that's the way you look at it. But you run over the top of them and say, oh, you're a Jonah. He said, I'd like to be one. Certainly, he was a man of God. He was a man of God. But now, because God took that and used it how Jonah arrived in the town of Nineveh, right? Arrived being spit out of the mouth of a great fish there. And comes into the city, and the people already are enamored with him because they worshiped a fish god. And so here comes Noah, and they believe he's sent by God, and he's got a message for the people. Strange way of doing things, but God's ways are not our ways, right?
Amen.
God's ways are higher than our ways, and we'll find that God's ways are better than our way. So David says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips have I kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Concerning the works of men. And by the word of thy lips, David is saying to God, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. This is Psalm 17. It's early in David's exile. It's early in the time when David is separated from the kingdom. He's already got the promise of being the next king. But he knows there are people who are out there who are going to destroy him if they could. He said, hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not. I got everybody around me now wanting me to fail, wanting me to fall. I feel like I have hostility on every side. But he said, Lord, I want you to hold my goings in thy paths. There are multiple paths, but I want you to hold my goings in thy paths. When's the last time you prayed this way? That, Lord, today I have a number of options, but I want you to hold me in your path. And that's what he's asking. For thou, he says, that my footsteps slip not. And I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. And show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Save me, O Lord, he says, so thou that savest by thy right hand, thy power, he says, them which put their trust in thee. Lord, you're the God who saves those who trust in you. And so I'm going to start out on this path, but I want you to hold my path on your path. I want you to hold my footsteps on your path. And that's the direction that I want to go tonight. That's the direction that I want to take tonight. Paul refers to the same thing. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and with one mind striving for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you it is of salvation and that of God. Paul is saying the same thing that, you know, here you are, you're surrounded by adversaries and people will try to, you know, wish your failure. They'll make up things about you. They'll say things about you here. But he says, in nothing be terrified by your adversaries. There are many adversaries and we will have them. And in this journey, it's a token of as a part of the journey. Or it's an evidence of part of the journey here. But he says to you, he says, it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
Amen.
For you, it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. It's really important how we interpret the suffering we go through. Because if we believe that all suffering is because we've made a mistake, or the fact that you have troubles in your household or troubles in your job or something else is all the result of a mistake that you've made, we'll never see the value of going through that particular struggle. We'll never see the value of it. But what Paul is telling us here and what David is saying that, you know, there are adversaries all around us and we'll go through difficult things. We'll go through narrow things here. But he says it is given unto us as a part of our experience, not only to believe, but also to suffer for his sake. And so therefore, there's not a thing in the world that that we should do except to ask God to put our make sure our feet land on his path so that we can make sure progress. An adversary is the Greek word satanas. Guess what word we get out of that in the English? One who opposes another in purpose or in actions. the prince of the evil spirits and the inveterate adversary of God. He causes apostasy from God and to sin. He causes apostasy from God and to sin. And the worshipers of idols are said to be under his control, and so on, all the way down to the definition, which would be certainly understandable for us. He's one who opposes another in purpose or in action in any way he possibly can. He's going to find a way to oppose you. But I just want to leave you with this, that, you know, Brother Branham, he's consistent in saying this, that even though we can maybe feel insignificant, and maybe we can feel threatened, and maybe we can feel like, my goodness, we lack success, or we lack sometimes the joy of things. You know, it's a plodding on and a treading on and so on, and we feel like, you know, we're a very short distance from disaster. And he says we can feel that, but he says, you need to understand that you're put here for a purpose. And even though you're going through things like that, and they may be narrow, God has a reason for all of that. And he says, you just need to keep pressing on, and you need to keep going on, because God will manifest that purpose in time if you don't turn away. No matter how little you are and how big you are and how important or unimportant, he said you're here to serve a purpose. And every part of your body is to serve a purpose. And if we were here for a purpose, he said, there's nothing can destroy us until that purpose is fulfilled. And nothing can harm us until that purpose that God has put us here for has been made manifest. No matter how much trouble we have, he said, there's a purpose in all of it. There's a reason for all of it. And he says, you just need to allow God to manifest that. Now, I'm going to wrap it up here, but just a couple of more statements here. He took our sins that we might take his righteousness. And man just can't keep his promise to God. Man just can't do it. His adversary is too great. And God, knowing that, he was determined to save man. He made the covenant unconditional. So God's remedy was to make an unconditional covenant. How can anything happen to you? Those that he foreknew, he also glorified and so forth. He said, so quit being scared. God's driving the ship, not you and I. We're just to stay on it. We're just to stay on it. God's driving the ship, not you and I. God ordained for you to be here, not you or I. You didn't get a vote as to what age you're gonna be living on the earth. You didn't get a choice as to what role you'd play even when you were here on the earth. God chose all of that. He's the one that's driving the ship. I'm just glad that I'm on the ship. His advice is just stay on the ship. God made a promise. God keeps his promise. Hey, listen, we go through seasons where we question things and we wonder things and why this and why that and why is there, a failure and why is this, even people will fail us and why did they walk away and why did they, forsake the gospel or the message or whatever else. And we all are faced with wondering about those things here. Brother Bram's saying that even though that happens, he said, you've been placed on this ship. Just stay on the ship. Don't wander off and try to draw your own conclusions here. Just stay on it. Just stay on the right road. A bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. God wants you to make the turn. God wants you to be there. I remember years ago, Peter's not here tonight, but I remember years ago we had as Boy Scouts, and this is pre-gay Boy Scouts, when Boy Scouts were good, and we had an outing in Ohio. We lived in Ohio, and we had an outing where we went and stayed on the Santa Maria. They had a model, not the real one, but they had a model of the Santa Maria in Columbus, Ohio. And they had tours. You can go take a tour of the Columbus ship, Columbus' ship, and the Santa Maria and the Pinta and so forth. And it was really neat to be able to go on there. They made it just exactly like the real one was. And it was really a neat experience for the boys to be able to do that. And so with the scouts, they had arranged for us to go and come to the ship on Friday and to stay overnight. So we would be there all night and be there on Saturday as well. So we had to do everything that they did back in that day. They had the crew all dressed up in the outfits, you know, that they wore back in that time. And we had to hoist the cargo onto the ship. We had to swab the decks. They gave us mops, and we had to swab the decks and make sure everything was seaworthy. And then we had to bed down for the night after we swabbed the decks. And we had to eat the food that they had, the hardtack and all the other things, just like they did when they were at sea. It was quite an experience. So the next day, one of the main things that they did was to climb the rope ladder and get up into the crow's nest, because somebody had to be up in the crow's nest to see if there was land or dangers out there or icebergs or whatever else. And so everybody on the ship, all the boys had to climb the rope ladder in order to get up into the crow's nest. You don't remember that there. And but the interesting thing about the ladder was that the first part, the majority of the ladder was inclined like this. You climbed up like a normal ladder leaning against the building. But the crow's nest being up here, you had to then climb this way outside and then jump into the crow's nest. So it wasn't just a straight line up to the crow's nest. There was a reverse direction that you had to go. So you had to climb this way, and then you had to climb this way and get over the top. Now, a lot of kids never made it, and they had people underneath to catch them in case they fell. But it was really quite difficult to turn and climb this way and go, climb in that direction and then lift yourself over the top. It really was quite a feat. And I remember that Peter made the journey up, and he got up to the first part, the three quarters of the trip. Last quarter, he had to climb backwards, and he just couldn't navigate it. I mean, it was really difficult. And so he eventually, they told him, he said, well, just come on down, back down the rope. So he did, came down back on deck. But instead of just going and sitting down, he went to the end of the line, and he just watched. And as the line, you know, worked its way up, he just watched how those guys were doing it. The guys who were successful, he's watching how they do it. And if you want to be successful, you watch successful people. And so he's watching those boys who made the climb correctly. And he was the last boy to do it. But when he did, he climbed up that ladder and figured out how to go backwards like that and flipped himself over in the top and got into the crow's nest. Listen, a bend in the road is not the end of the road. You just got to stay on the ship. For every one of us. And Paul says this. He says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Every one of us face adversity, and every one of us go through it. Who cares? Let me tell you something. God cares. And I think that God, in his own sovereign way, he uses us to be able to show that care one for another, to encourage one another, and to make sure that we stay on the ship, stay with it, because God's got a purpose in doing it. Let's stand to our feet. Let's have our musicians just slide up here. You never need to go looking for adversity. Adversity will find you. You never need to worry about adversity, because adversity always has a lesson in it. You never need to be ashamed of adversity, because adversity is a great teacher. It'll tell you things you never knew about yourself. Brother Bram's admonition is to be not afraid. He said, but just trust him, because he knows exactly how this is going to come out. How many love the Lord tonight? Let's sing just a little bit tonight. Let's worship him, and then let's have a word of prayer. We have a lot of things that we're praying about. There's a lot of things that that are sensitive among us here, and we want to see God's hand in it. Let's sing that little chorus, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. Give thanks. Let's sing it tonight here together. Let's worship him just for a few minutes before we leave.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. We give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son.
Identify an adversary in your life, some situation or some circumstance that maybe you didn't cause it, but it's there, and you'd love to see it moved. You'd love to see the Lord move that aside so you can move on. When we can identify those things, remember, you're not the only one who sees that, but God sees that as well, and He's able to harness that thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, every one of us, Lord, every one of us experience these kinds of things in our life. And sometimes, Lord, it can be as simple as a memory. It can be an experience that we have. It can be something that somebody said to us. Or Lord, it might be a physical thing that we struggle against. But Lord Jesus, we know that we can always take these kinds of struggles, Lord, and we can bring them to You. We've mentioned, Lord, in the list of prayer requests tonight, there are different people that are struggling, Lord, with different circumstances. I think of Sister Rachel tonight, Lord, and Brother Russell Wallace, Brother Smith, and so many others, Lord, that have an obstacle, they have a weight, or they have a burden. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, You would help us to think on positive things. Even though we face those negative circumstances, may we think on those positive things, Lord, because that helps to build faith in our heart. And Lord, we know that You are able. We know that the things that we could move, we would. But Lord, if we cannot move them, we know that nothing is impossible with You. So we place these things at Your feet tonight. We lay them at the altar, Lord, and trust that Your Holy Spirit in a simple way will just help remind us, Lord, that You're never far from us, but we can come and cast our cares upon You. And Lord, You're always nigh, as close as the breath we breathe. Have Your way, Lord, I pray. May Your people tonight, Lord, may they go encouraged and may they go realizing that these things are not uncommon for us on this earth. And Lord, the problems we face, the different things that we go through, they help us, Lord, to be longing for another kingdom where we really, truly belong. We thank You for Your many blessings in life. We thank You for all that's been done. Lord, we know You to be a healer and a deliverer. But it seems, Lord, even as long as we live in this body and in this earth, Lord, there are circumstances that we face. Help us, Lord, not to become weary because of those. But Lord, may we have the mind of Christ. Go with us, Lord, tonight, I pray. And Father, I ask in Jesus' name that You would bring healing to all those who need it tonight. We commit our needs to You. We commit our hearts to You. In Jesus' lovely name and for Your glory, we pray. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for being here tonight. I feel like going on, sing that as you leave tonight. God bless you. I feel like
going on. I feel like this world of
their sin nor sorrows e'er can come. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this way. The unseen hand.